Hello, everybody. How are you? Welcome to the show, LE2B. I'm Tom McCaffrey. I'm here with Eric B. Thanks for listening. Please support our show at Patreon. Go to LE2B at Patreon and rate, review, and subscribe. So how you doing? I'm in Dallas, actually.
Yeah, you're live via satellite, right?
I guess so. I just, you know, went to Six Flags. I just got back from Six Flags.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is that a good one in Dallas?
Yeah, it's good. It's like, you know, I don't really go to those amusement, you know, those, you know, theme parks. And I went on all the rides. Are you into those? Like, you know, going to like those, you know, amusement parks that have all the big rides?
I used to be, not anymore, though.
I feel like as a kid, I was like terrified of all those big rides. But now I go on them and they're really, some of them are just like terrifying.
Like, what did you go on?
I went on that one they call it Superman, where basically you just go up like 10 stories and then they just drop you, you know. And then I went, is your mic okay?
Yeah, we're good.
Okay. And then I went on another one that I don't, it was like, you know, Mr. Freeze, and it's like 30 seconds long, and it's just insane how big these drops are, you know what I mean? Like they twist, and I mean it's just crazy.
And do you enjoy these rides?
Well, I mean, they kind of terrify me. You know, I don't know. I'm always like kind of terrified to go on. And I'm sort of like right before I'm going to go on. But I don't know. I just figure like whatever at this point. I might as well just do it, you know. And I always see like little kids on. I don't know. Did you go to those things, you know, like as a kid? I was, you know, when I would go to them young, I was really scared to go on.
No, I enjoyed those rides a lot. I like the ones with the big dips. That was always the one. The big dips, the spiral things never really scared me too much because it happens so fast. But I always thought the big dips, don't you like those? You feel like your balls are in your fucking throat.
You mean like the roller coasters?
Yeah. Which yeah, I mean, the dropping of the 10 floors, what you were talking about, was like that, right?
Yeah, that's like that. And then... the roller coaster, the first drop is like, you know, I went on one and it was just insane how it's so high. And they go so fast. This one went so fast that you start like blacking out. The gravity's hitting you so hard, you know, it's going right. So fast. So it's kind of weird. Like you feel like you're about to pass out. So.
Because I remember like when I was little, you'd go to these places and they would update the rides maybe every 5 years, but now to get people coming back, it's like every year they have new rides and they get more and more terrifying, you know. Soon they're just gonna have a ride where they just toss you off a bridge, you know.
Yeah. I mean, they are, some of them are really scary, like yeah. And then I went on an older one that I remember was around when I was a kid, and it's like it's literally like nothing.
Yeah,
jeez.
There's only one really old ride that scares the fuck out of you, is that's the Cyclone at Coney Island.
Yeah,
because it is so rickety and it like hurts when you're on it, because it was made in like 1920 and where people were smaller, so you can't even like fucking fit in the thing. There's like no padding, it's so rickety, you're like, I'm dying on this thing.
The track's not finished.
Yeah.
I've never gone on that. I should though. I've only been to Coney Island like twice, but
I mean, it's so weird too, because it's like $10. It's not even like part of, there's a park there where you can get like an unlimited thing, but that's separate, you know, and it's just $10.
Yeah,
which is almost good in a way. It's not really fair for poor people maybe, but like I guess everyone can afford $10, but it does, there's not never such a huge line, because you can't just keep going back and back and back like you're like in Six Flags, you know.
There were no lines, you know?
Oh really?
Yeah, which is good, because, and then I remembered like,
you went today, what's Thursday?
Yeah.
School is not out completely yet, right?
Yeah. And it was hot. And I don't know. I mean, I do remember there was a kid going really when I was young, like to Great Adventure. And I mean, you just had to wait like an hour and a half for every ride.
Yeah.
So that's, I don't think I could do that. I think we waited 30 minutes for one ride and we were just like, ugh.
Yeah.
But
don't they have those fast passes now? But that's not even that fast.
well, we were going to get it, but they were like, you don't need it today, because it was like there were like no lines.
Oh, that's fun.
For that one. So yeah, no, I mean, yeah, it was great. It's really tiring. It's funny, like when you get older, you start getting scared again for other reasons.
you finally start reading the little thing that they have where if you have a heart condition, blah blah blah, and you're
like, you start being like, I don't know, I definitely was. I'm not one of those people that's like, yeah, like I love it. Let's go. I have to like make myself do them, you know, but I feel like, you know, I'm there. And then like, when there's like little girls on the ride, you know, on these huge rides, or I'm like, all right, I guess I'm going to go on it. Like there's like 10-year-old girls on it. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I know. It's, I mean, I used to be bulletproof with that stuff. And now anytime I do it, I'm like, when I'm on it, I'm like, why am I doing this? There's no, what am I doing? There's no point to this anymore. No.
Yeah. I only do it once every like 6 years. So, you know, we were talking about this is a good lead in to
the roller coaster of Washington and whatever. And Miami.
So what do you think of this whole thing? I mean, obviously it's a big deal, but it seems like it's going to be dragged out so long. You know what I mean? There's such like an immediacy to it when it happened.
Right. But now, the weird thing is, we're talking about Trump, by the way, and the
indictment
for the documents. And Chris Christie, I watched some of his town hall the other night, and he's an idiot, but he actually is smart. And he was a prosecutor, and his campaign is just a kamikaze campaign, they're calling it. His only goal is to take out Trump. That's right. You know,
thank God. It's like, and I remember I said that. I think Christie might be able to be, I don't, I guess he won't beat him.
No, he's not going to beat him. He's going to do what he did to Marco Rubio and just take him out, you know, because he'll just attack him in debates and stuff.
It is funny though how full of shit he is, because it's like, it's one of those like, all right, better late than never. But I mean, what the fuck, you know, like he's just attacking him left and right. And
right.
And it's but, kind of like, well, when did you finally get off the train?
Right, right. So it's the never Trumpers want him to be that guy, you know, and but he was a prosecutor and, you know, he is an intelligent, well-spoken person. And they asked, he was talking about the indictments and he said, and, you know, you're in the law. I don't know if you know any of this stuff, but like he said, this type of indictment with something big like that, you only show about a third of all the evidence that you have. Just enough. I think he called it like a speaking indictment, where it's just very crystal clear why you're indicting this person. Big
right.
talking points, showing pictures of his documents in the fucking toilet or whatever he's fucking doing.
Right.
And he said, if this is what they are showing, he's like, there's so much more. He's like, it's bad.
And that's a mistake that's so funny. I mean, I was going to say, because it's, you know, we're just on the eighth year of like, oh, this is it. Oh God, they're finally going to turn on it. It's like, but they're all falling right into that trap. And, you know, Jack Smith obviously knows what he's doing. And, you know, they keep saying, like, if you were going to do this, you know, federally prosecute him, you had to have an airtight case.
So right.
They all keep falling into the trap of, like, first it came out that, you know, they hadn't released the indictment yet, you know, for anyone to read. And everyone's like, oh, it's just bullshit. It's just a witch. And then they're like, okay, well, here it is. And they're like, well, I mean, well, you know, what about it? It's so pathetic what it's gotten to, because now all they have is Hillary Clinton's emails. That's the only answer.
Oh, yeah. Or Joe Biden having
Hunter it. Biden's laptop. So
no, but Joe Biden, you know, had documents too. So did Mike Pence.
Right,
but
right,
but they gave them back. And I think the story really is the reason why he didn't give them back. And the reason is not, oh, I want to show people, brag about it. I don't think it's that. I think he was giving it to other countries. I think he was giving it to at least Russia and Saudi Arabia, you know? And I think that
almost is like a, you know, kind of like a, like he's pissed off and it's like,
no,
like,
I think he was either selling them, or in the case of Russia, he's owing them. And I think that this is what they might have. And I think they have that because, you know, I was reading this article and it was insane that they were saying that early in the Trump presidency, he was talking to Russian people and he outed a Mossad spy to the Russians. And then the CIA is freaking out because he's talking to a Putin privately and no one can hear what they're talking about. And then they pulled a lot of the CIA agents who were very close to Putin. And there was one guy they said that could get into Putin's office and take pictures of his desk. And they burned this one agent who worked for the Mossad. They thought that they were going to burn CIA agents, which he probably might have. So they pulled them all out. So they had very little access to Putin's thinking for a long time. And they said that if they had that, they probably would have known about the Ukraine plans right. more. I mean, I'm sure they had some guys in there, but they were very scared. They thought that Trump was just going to turn over CIA agents. So if he's going to do that, you think giving them, you know,
and the other thing is like the what's the name of the other guy who's basically completely done?
Oh, the valet. Yeah.
They're
going to try to flip him, you know,
but he's such an idiot. Like, I think they tried to flip him and he won't flip. I mean, what is he? It's so funny how like, you know, it just goes back to everything where it's like all these people, you know, he does these horrible things over and over. He rips everyone off. Everyone who gets close to him gets burnt to right. the ground, and everyone just goes along again. Like, yeah, I'm going to work for him, be around him. And it's just like, this guy's life is, I don't even think he has his own lawyer. I don't even think he has a lawyer.
No, the lawyers are all scattering. But I saw Michael Cohen, he was on MSNBC, talking about that the valet and stuff. And they said, do you have any advice to the valet? And he goes, run. He goes, run. He goes, do whatever you got to do. He goes, because if you don't do it, he's gonna do it to you.
He still works for him.
Right. Walt Nauta is his name.
He's like, and literally they had the arraignment and then he literally went right back to get like pull the car around.
Yeah, I know.
So it's just like that guy. I mean, you're just, I feel bad for him, but at the same time, you just want to be like, you're just such a moron. Like, what are you waiting for?
He's like Trump's Renfield, you know. Have you seen right. that movie? Have you seen the movie yet? Renfield? It's on Peacock.
I
haven't,
but I know the story.
Right.
But that guy's just fucking toast. Like I guess the plan now is to try and just dump it all on him, and he
right.
did it all. But I feel like what.
But I honestly think that I think they have proof that he was selling or giving secrets to different countries.
See, that's the thing.
I don't think they're going to go all the way with this unless they know there's right. more.
And Jack Smith, like I said, he knows what he's doing. And he, you know, kind of, you know, revealing things slowly.
Right.
Because he anticipated everything that was going to happen, that everyone's going to jump immediately on him and be like, this is bullshit. No, it's a political witch hunt and they're weaponizing the DOJ. And then it's like, okay, well, now I have this. And it's like, so they've already like kind of, you know, shot. But the problem is everyone's been waiting for years for this big moment to happen where right. people kind of are finally like, no one has any shame or embarrassment anymore.
It's no, just, I know, but I don't think they've ever found a prosecutor like this guy's a shark, Jack Smith.
He really is.
And you know how this case got randomly assigned to this Aileen Cannon, who was a Trump appointee, and now they're saying like she's going to just let Trump win the case. You heard about that, right?
Yeah. What were you going to say about that?
Well, so they're like, what
first of all, I don't want to interrupt you. How the fuck did that happen? They said it was random. How did
I
that?
I don't know.
Happen?
But here's the thing. It is random, I think. But there's not a lot of judges. So it's like picking a name out of a hat, I think, or something. I don't really know how it works. But they said this is a federal case. So they said, okay, we're also going to charge him in New Jersey on a federal crime.
That's what I keep hearing.
Right. And guess what? You might have a much more sympathetic jury in Florida than you are going to have in New Jersey. So, you know, they might just do that to keep either get that woman to recuse herself or, you know, play it fair. During the
isn't
case.
That kind of what he has? Again, it's kind of like he was anticipating this. So I think he had that kind of in his back pocket, obviously. Like, okay, because they can bring it in New Jersey because didn't they move the boxes to his country club there?
Yeah. So it's, I mean, this guy, you know, he's all in. He don't give a fuck, man. And, you know, I'm sure he's getting death threats or whatever, but like, this is the guy you wanted. He
finally, it's like, yeah. Finally, you got someone fucking who actually was going to put himself out there and just knew what he was doing and build an airtight case. Everyone's just been a fucking like Keystone Cops with this guy.
Right.
And
well, I was reading about Mueller, you know, with that Russia report, and it's, you know, they say Russia hoax, but if you read the documentation, what the conclusions were basically this was Russia helped Trump win the election. They did all these things, all the social media, everything like that. The only thing they could never prove 100% was that Trump asked them to do it. He knew they were doing it. But, you know, just because they're doing it, it's not his job to try to stop them. But, you know, he did. But that's kind of proof that's really hard to find. So then they were like, he's so Mueller was like, we can't find that.
Well, that's why this, the attorney client, piercing the attorney client.
Right.
I mean, that's like him doing that. That was just the fucking, I mean, I don't want to say smoking, but I mean, there are like some smoking guns there, because basically it's him being like, oh yeah, tell them we don't have it. Like basically telling the lawyer to just lie to them. But that's the big thing. And I guess that's what they're going to try to keep out, is the attorney-client privilege stuff. They're going to argue there's some, you know, misconduct there. Because I guess they use a crime fraud exemption. But I don't know, because one thing I think, you know, might happen is I think she's just going to kind of like sandbag it somehow.
Right. Well, they're saying that she's going to want to delay it till after the election, and then if he wins, he can pardon himself. So,
So I think that's definitely what's going to happen. But I don't know. He does seem to have a lot of like, you know, backup plans. So
This is like the first time where I was like, the whole time I'm like, I want Biden to run against Trump. But if somehow Trump wins, I mean, it's like you know, he talks about how he just wants retribution. I mean,
what do you think? Like, no one's really talking about that, because I think people are so far deep. You know, you every now and then people are like, you know, he's still like the front runner for the nominee. Like, what would I don't mean this hyperbolically, because I remember people were saying it a lot in like 2016. Like, if he wins, I'm leaving. I think if he wins, I don't think I can live here anymore. I mean, what would this country be? With that, in after all of this, what would I mean? First of all, he's going to go so hard now. You thought he was lying and promising before. I mean, he's going to be like, you know, I'm going to get rid of, you know, taxes for everyone.
For rich people. He'll never say for everyone. Trust me.
But no, I just feel like he's just going to make up everything to get everyone. You know, kind of like when someone's running for class president, they're like, you know, I'm going to get rid of homework. You know, he's just going to make promise that he's not going to keep, but he has to. That's all he has.
But the problem is this time is that he did that the 2016, and everyone, not a good amount of people, who the ones who were maybe independent voters, were like, oh, maybe he'll do this. Now they're like, oh no, he just says anything. So
I don't know.
I don't think that's going to be his strategy. I think his strategy is more going to be like getting people, his base, riled up enough where they'll come out to vote, and then, you know, he'll, with the electoral college and all that bullshit, he'll do another squeaker. I mean,
I don't think that's enough. Just those.
That was their plan in 2020, and Biden won by 8 million votes or whatever. It was really 70,000 votes.
I still think
it was three states, and that could have, either of these states could have gone either way.
I don't think it was just the crazies voting for him the second time.
But here's the other thing too. You get this third party thing going with this no labels party, which is really a Republican front group. Yeah, now the vote splits. Now it's the anti-Trump vote gets split. He can come in with 35% of the vote. You know, that's how Hitler got in.
No, I believe you. I what do you think the percentage of him being president is again at this point?
I mean, I'm going to say 30%.
I'm going to say like 50-50 at this point. And that's how I felt about the last one too. I was kind of like, which actually was a generous estimation, but
they're doing everything to separate. This RFK candidacy was set up by Steve Bannon, apparently, you know, and that's going to cause Biden a lot of headaches, you know, because this guy's probably going to do okay. So
what is that guy? That guy's a Democrat?
Was he? Barely. You know, he's married to Cheryl Hines, too.
I know. I mean, everyone keeps saying that. Like, I get it, but it's also like, I don't know anything about Cheryl Hines. Maybe she's like a total fucking idiot asshole.
I don't think she is. I think he's mostly liberal, but he has this vaccine fetish and stuff, which is, you know, that's not really a Democratic thing.
We'll vote on that now. Like,
yeah.
I don't like vaccines.
What'd you say?
I don't know what, you know. What is crazy, I mean, I guess the only thing that seems kind of bad for him is that, you know, he says all these weird, crazy things in public that aren't true, like that aren't law-based at all. You know, like he just keeps parroting the whole President Records Act, which is not at all. He's like, why don't they never mention the Presidential Records Act? And they're like, you know, that's a civil thing. And they're like, it's a criminal case. This has nothing to, why would they mention that?
Right.
Why would they mention something that doesn't apply to what the indictment is about? Yeah.
But this is
why don't they bring up, you know, like jaywalking? You know, it's just right.
Why I think there's more to this. And I don't know if they use the Espionage Act. They were talking about that, but I think they have something like that where they have him trying to give it to a foreign government.
Yeah.
And I think that's the, you know, I don't know. I mean, I feel like I hope they have something like that.
And if it gets that bad, I know the woman is like literally was appointed by him and, you know, is clearly, you know.
No. And just to say, he has been charged under that. So I wasn't sure about that. So
the Espionage Act? Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So I think that's what
have something. So the other thing that was good, it was, you know, the anti-Mueller was like, he actually wrote out an indictment that, you know, total idiots could understand. It was just like a fucking indictment for dummies.
I know, it's pictures.
And then he took this and he went here. Yeah. Pictures and like,
I mean, those documents look like when you're cleaning out your garage and stuff, but it's just the fucking things are lying all over the place and stuff. You're like, I remember
the toilet thing is so weird. Yeah. I mean, so he just had them. I thought that was like a huge place. Like, why would you like, that's where I would be keeping things in my apartment. But
right. Imagine. I know it's not like a studio in fucking New York City. It's supposed to be a mansion. Yeah.
Why are they? And then the ballroom, what, that's like a theater.
I don't know. But imagine going to the Mar-a-Lago. You're like, hey, I need to go to the bathroom. Yeah. Oh, just take the one on the left and you go in there and you're like fucking nuclear codes. you're reading nuclear codes while you're taking a shit, you know?
Yeah. I have to go to the bathroom. What, classified or non-classified? Hello.
So, but that would be good reading material, I think, when you're taking a shit.
What, the nuclear code? First of all, I know that they, and the problem you're running into too with the public is no one knows anything. So
you know what the nuclear codes under Trump were? It was password one.
Yeah.
You remember Spaceballs where they have the code and they're like, what's the code? And they're like, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's the same combination I have on my luggage.
People still, I feel like people still have that.
Yeah.
I have that as my code on my phone up until I'd say 5 years ago.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. You know?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Who cares? Like, what?
There's no website now that would even, you could never use that now. I was on a website recently. I swear to God, they go, pick a password. It has to be 16 characters. 16 plus,
jeez,
plus like a number plus one of the special code. I'm like 16. So now I'm not even thinking of a word. I'm thinking of like a sentence.
Yeah. Right. Plus a curse word in German. these French directors. Yeah. It's just 16. I remember when it was getting like 10 or 11. Right. And it was just like, it's just fucking.
I mean, when you get to that point, you know, you'll never remember it. So every time you try to sign in, you have to type forgot password. And then you have to think of a new 16 word.
I know. I have that all the time. But what was I going to. So have you been. Have you noticed like some of them kind of are panicking a little bit? Like. Lindsey Graham had kind of that interview right after he kind of snapped at, who was it? The guy on, like, I thought it was like a CNN guy.
Yeah, I think I remember that.
And he just went right. Cause all they're doing is they're just going with, McCarthy did it too, where it's like, well, at least the bathroom was a lock, you know, as opposed to like a garage.
Yeah.
So it's like, but the thing is, like, this is where we are now. Like, they're out of everything that all they could. I mean, the Hillary Clinton thing, I know that's like all they really have, but I don't understand. I know it was nothing like it. It was completely different, but it's also like, I haven't heard from Hillary Clinton for so long. Like, what is the relevance of that? Just bringing that up.
It's called, they're doing it. It's called, you know, that term you hear so much now, whataboutism. Yeah. So.
But it's like, it's so pathetic. I mean, it seems so transparent and easily and so lame and pathetic that it's like, I know people, I guess you have to kind of be on that side. If you were on the other side,
right,
like Biden or Obama, and it was this bad with Biden or Obama, would you just constantly be saying doing it. Like, well, what about this person? They did it. It seems like it would be such a weak argument.
I know, but that's the thing. And that's why I thought when they found the shit, someone must have tipped them off when they found documents in Biden's place. You know, I think someone tipped them off and he returned them and stuff. But I thought when that happened, I'm like, they're going to drop this case now because no one's going to believe it because of the whataboutism.
Right.
Unless they have something real. Bad. Yeah. And it might be, it has to be that. It has to be some.
I get it. But the thing I'm also is like, I know, I think it's good that he's doing it slowly, but at the same time, it's like, just get it out there. Like it needs, but the problem is everyone. And I think, I mean, I'm not waiting for it anymore. I think a lot of people have given up, but you just keep, you know, waiting for the one thing that people are just finally going to be like, all right, fine, that's too far. But it's just, there is no too far anymore. Right. This was the first time I really realized, I was like, oh, we're really in a different era. There's no, like, that they're never going to admit, no matter what he does. And I'm not even kidding. He could literally just do what, like, you could find out that he was, you know, selling nuclear codes to, or whatever, war plans to Russia, you know what I mean? And it just wouldn't matter. It just wouldn't, it really would not matter.
For these people, they'll never admit that they're wrong. And an example to what I always think is that with climate change, like one day when they see all this stuff happening, they're going to say, oh, this is a problem. Like when New York City, where you were in New York last week and our skies were on fire from the, you know, the wildlife fires in Canada caused by warmer temperatures in that area. And they asked some Canadian, I guess, expert. They go, oh, this is going to be the last of it. And he's like, no, this is going to happen all the time. All the time. We're going to have wildfires. Everything's going to burn and you're going to get the smoke in New York or wherever. But there's no Republican going, all right, we were wrong.
You're never going to hear I think like
they'll just blame it on anything else, whatever they're going to blame it on. Yeah.
But I think it's the problem is that, and you know, I hate to always go back to like the 2016 election, but it kind of feels like what's happening now, the valet guy, where, you know, he started working for him after he was, you know, Trump was out of office and he knew and saw all the horrible things he did and everyone goes down who's around him. And it's just like, he still was, I think he even like wanted to be assigned to him. You know, it wasn't even like he had to be. And it's just kind of like, if you're putting yourself in that orbit now, you're just like, you just deserve what you get. And
yeah, if you're a broke guy and this guy's throwing you money, I mean, this guy doesn't seem like his resume is so great. I have no idea, but he, you know, this guy's like the Cato Kalin of fucking Trump, you know?
He kind of is like the Cato Kalin, but except that Cato wasn't being accused to be as being part of the crime. But I don't know, like, what is it like just for that guy going to court? Just like, oh yeah, let's go to court, me and Trump, like we're both like co-defendants. Like, what do you think is going to happen to the guy? Do you think he's finally just going to try and blame it all on him?
I don't know, if he would have flipped, he would have flipped already. So that's the problem. I mean, there must be some pressure. Maybe it's
I think they're just lying. It's, you know, but that's the thing. It's Trump is just lying to him and like, don't worry, I'm going to protect you. And this, but it's like,
no, but I think there's a money thing aspect that Trump probably said, listen, and you want to get paid by Trump. I mean, that's the idiot. He never pays you anyway.
That's the other thing too.
But he probably was like, listen, jury in the country is going to convict us. Here is $1 million under the table. All. And he probably maybe gave him the first 100,000 and he'll never see the rest. Did you see that story today where Trump was in some restaurant in, was it in Miami?
Versailles.
Yeah. And he said, free food for everybody. And then just left.
I mean,
he can't even get their fucking food. Was it a couple $1,000s?
I kind of hate to admit it, but like in the last couple of months, it's become so absurd and he's so absurd. It is becoming almost funny. Like I think what's funny is the people that just keep falling for it over and over. And like, they're kind of like, I can't believe he did this again. He ripped them off. He did this. Like, that's all he's ever done. And that's why Chris Christie, I mean, like, I'm glad he's, you know, finally, you know, coming, you know, whatever, jumping off the train. But I love this excuse where people kind of like, look, I mean, I didn't know, I made a mistake. And it's like, What did you not see? Or it was so clear from the beginning. Everyone knew. There's been no surprises with this guy. This is where everyone knew was going.
Well, I think Christie should have never been on the train. But, you know, that was the thing when you were a Republican. And the reason why Trump really never accepted him is because what Christie did to Jared Kushner's father. He prosecuted his father, you know, and they were Democrats at the time. Charles Kushner was a Democrat. Put this guy in jail, you know, some bribery. I mean, standard New Jersey fucking corruption, you know. Yeah. I'm not saying the guy didn't deserve to go to jail, but I'm sure people have done that much worse. But he was a big Democratic donor, Charles Kushner. So it made him a target. So Christie went after him. The guy did fucking 3 years in prison, this fucking dude.
Yeah.
I don't think after that, I don't know how Christie could ever think that Trump would accept him. His son-in-law, he put his son-in-law's father in jail.
Yeah.
And every time he...
They all keep falling for it. They're all just like, I'm sure he lies to them all. He just says whatever they need. He says whatever he needs to say to anyone to get them on board. And that's what I'm saying. That's what I think his campaign is going to be now. Like, I'm going to pardon everyone like who's ever been convicted of anything.
Giuliani, where the story is, it's obviously probably true because it's been confirmed by a few people that they were selling pardons, right?
Yeah.
And he would get 1 million, what's his name, Giuliani, and then Trump, I guess, would get the other half, you know. And just think about Giuliani, because what you ever could say about him, for a very long time, he was kind of a Boy Scout when it came to corruption. You know, he was a prosecutor, so he knew all the laws. Sometimes when you know all the laws, you know what not to break. Yeah. And you don't even have the excuse of, like, I don't know what the laws are. Like, dude, you're a fucking prosecutor. So he... let Giuliani do that. And think about Giuliani. How could he not know that that was completely fucking illegal?
Oh, yeah. No. He's just, they're just all emboldened. You know, they were just hiding. I think that they really thought he was just going to stay president.
Right.
I mean, if he stayed president, nothing mattered. They could do whatever they wanted. And that's what now it makes sense. That's why they were so desperate to do anything they had to, because it was just like they knew the ride was over. So it kind of makes sense now that. Because you'd always look back and be like, just let it go. Like, what the fuck? It's so clear. It's just like, no, they couldn't. They had to have him.
Right. Continue.
So that's the thing now. He's just running for a party. You know, that's the scariest part. I could see him getting convicted and stuff and being sentenced, but he's just going to get pardoned. Someone's going to pardon him eventually.
Well, Biden isn't, you know. I mean,
I know, but I mean, we'll see. You know, we'll see.
I mean, I for a very long time, I always thought that Ford pardoning Nixon was the right thing to do. But now the stuff I read and going back on it, I'm like, no, it was wrong, because it emboldened all the other presidents after that. They realized that whatever they do, the jail time was never an option. And that emboldens you a little bit. You know, totally. I pay a fine, or even if, like, I have to resign. But jail time scares fucking people.
So what do you think? I mean, I know I asked you. So what do you, I know you can't predict. And obviously this whole thing is just a roller coaster of, like, you know, you couldn't even write something this compelling. It's just like, sure, the twists and turns and the developments. And I mean, like I said, I think one of the scenarios is she's just going to completely veto it and, you know, whatever, sabotage it.
Yeah, but I told you that they'll just move the fucking case somewhere else.
I hope so. Yeah. I was reading that basically was the plan he had. That'll be good, because if she does that, it'll be so clear. I think she's going to try and do it under the guise of what a lot of them are saying of, like, well, it's bad for the country if we have it. I mean, so I do think it'll make it so transparent, like what she's doing, and that she's, you know, in his pocket or whatever, that she's favoring him. But that's the other thing. Can she not do it because everyone knows the scrutiny on her is so strong that she,
I mean,
can't,
we're talking about Eileen Cannon. She could, but I don't, you're asking me to predict things, and I am done predicting anything related to Trump at all. I have an idea. You know, I had a feeling he wasn't going to win the 2020 election, but I still had that sinking pit in my stomach, because I just read the polls over and over again and he was getting trashed. I don't know why they thought it was such a surprise. I mean, Biden was killing you in every poll from fucking May to November.
Well, I mean, I think people just gave up on polls after 2016.
But the polls were correct with the popular vote. They got it a little wrong with the...
Yeah,
with the,
I guess you're right, yeah.
But his lead, Biden's lead, was so big that they're like, he can't even lose the electoral vote unless there's shenanigans. And that's what I always thought, there were shenanigans, you know? Or there could be, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, the other side thinks there were shenanigans, but there wasn't. Not on our side.
You know, the thing that's really frustrating, too, is just like when you just kind of articulate, say out loud, the things that are really going on, like, you know, just put aside the two indictments and the federal indictment for espionage. And just like the front runner is the guy who literally sicked a mob to overthrow the government.
Right.
And murder the vice president. Like yeah. That there is just like the fact that that's not a disqualifier anymore. I feel like it's the fourth thing people even talk about now.
Right.
Like, oh yeah. And there's that the coup. Oh yeah. And murdering the vice president. And yeah.
It was a tour though. You know, they said it was just a friendly tour where they,
but that's the thing too. What do you think? I didn't, you know, the whole thing, people hit, you know, history. What do you think, there will be any accountability? Like, are these fucking enablers and pieces of shit, like spineless? I'm just waiting for something to finally,
I don't know about history. Cause no, they're changing all the history books. So that's what they do now. So
do you think there will ever be any accountability in our lifetime?
I don't know.
I feel like, literally, I feel like Dr. King sometimes, where I'm like, you know, I might not get to the promised land with you, but one day we will see.
No, I think it's going to get, with AI and all this other stuff, everything's going to be much worse. There's just going to be alternate realities.
What do you think this election's going to be like?
It's going to be horrible. you know, 2020 wasn't that bad because we were all stuck inside. So we were watching stuff, but it wasn't like, it was a little quieter because everyone was going crazy on social media, but people really, really going out as much and stuff. This is going to be awful.
The other thing too is, like, I understand if you're like in the cult and stuff, but like, I was watching a couple of his speeches, not the one he gave right the day of the indictment, but like before it. And it was like an hour and a half of just nothing. It was just him complaining about the exact same things. And it's like, I know you're in a cult and you love, but it's like, that's not boring to you. Like,
yeah.
Would you have in 2019 or in 2020 gone to watch Hillary Clinton for an hour and a half bitch about losing the, like, when Hillary Clinton, I saw her in an interview once, maybe a year and a half later, talking about the Comey thing, I was just like, my reaction was like, just go away. I don't want to hear from you anymore. Like, right. And I never would have been like, yeah, you again. Yeah. Yeah. You run again. I would just, if she tried to run again, so many people including would have just been like, get the fuck out of here.
Right. But in a way though, I mean, she pops up every once in a while to say, I told you so, which I have no problem with that, man.
She does, but yeah. She does it very sparingly. And she does like short interviews. She doesn't do like rallies with like 2 hour speeches talking about it. And which it would be the fact that anyone would want to go watch that. Like with him, I'm like, I know you're crazy and you're just like a loser and dumb, but it's like, there must be a part of you that's just like, I mean, this is just this.
But don't you think everyone's talking about how he seems not to have the energy that he used to have?
I mean, he's old
and he's fat, you know, he's slowing down, man.
I get it. But if that's the worst thing you can come up with is you're like, you know what? He's kind of a little lower energy. And
I'm not talking about like, I'm just saying that maybe, you know, his parents lived pretty old, but he's in horrible shape. So, you know,
but is he? Every time I see him, he goes through all these things and then he talks for an hour. I couldn't do that.
No,
like, there's no way I could do that.
I mean,
being indicted and like, but the fact that they're always like, well, you know, he seems tired. I'm like, that's all you got? Like, he seems tired. Like, he doesn't seem, I mean, yeah, he seems a little more lethargic and not, he doesn't have the, but it doesn't matter. He's still able to talk. Sometimes it looks like, I don't know what his, you know, it is impressive that he has that kind of energy and commitment. Right? I mean, it's crazy.
Well, I think it's also with him giving speeches and talking in front of the camera. He's so used to it. And that's, you know, why he won, or at least won, you know, the nomination in the Electoral College. But I don't think it's work for people like that, talking in front of the camera. For someone like me and you.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
It's just for him, it's like having a conversation. He don't fucking care. I don't think it's anything for him. I don't think it's effort for him.
Say, I mean, I guess I could do it if I mean, I don't know. It's kind of like a hack comedian who just does, because it's literally like if me and you went up and every day on national TV just did the exact same 30 minute set.
Right.
Every single day.
And right.
That's what I mean. Like, people are going to that. Like, if people were, if I was doing the same set every single time I performed for 7 years, I feel like people would be like, dude, I don't want to hear this anymore. Like, do you have anything else?
But that's the thing. And I think it also relaxes you. Like, if a comedian, you're always a little nervous before you go on stage, only because you don't know exactly how it's going to go. Unless the crowd is either really good, then you're like, oh, okay, this might be easier. And that's in the case of, like, when he speaks, he knows when he does these rallies, they're going to cheer whatever he says. And that makes everything easier, I think.
But it makes sense, too, when you look at, like, what's popular in pop culture, like movies, how they're just all, like, the fact that, like, they'll be like, Fast and the Furious 12. Yeah. This one's really fast, you know, like, I got, you know, makes like $500 million. It's just like, I guess people just don't, they just want like what they know over and over and over again. And it's just like, I look at those movies, the Marvel movies even, that are kind, and I, you know, I think about 5 years ago with the Marvel movies, I was just like, I don't get this. Like, what am I missing here? Like, and people, you got to see this one. This one's really, like the new Spider-Man, everyone's like, this one's really good. I'm like, why? Why is it good? Like, what's going on in it? Do you know what I mean? Like, do you, does it keep doing it? Do you want to see Spider-Man again? I mean,
it's the thing. Good. It's like these superhero movies, to me, it's just the same movie over and over again. So I don't really... You know, they can be entertaining, but I'm like, but I just saw this. Well, like, we have a, this one doesn't have Green Goblin. This one has the Sandman. I'm like, but it's the same plot.
Yeah. And then they remember the big thing was like the Avengers. They're like, so people were like, you won't believe it when you see it.
Yeah.
Crazy. And because they all died, like half of them died. You can't believe it. Right. And I'm like, well, they're going to be back.
Right. Because they're like,
you think they're dead?
I know. It's like they could never come back. I'm like, wait, you believe that a person can fly, but they can't come back from the dead? That's your line over there?
Right. You think Spider-Man is dead for God? He's never coming back? Like, everyone's like, can you believe they killed Spider-Man? I think there have been 9 Spider-Man reboots since that movie. And then, like, when they came, remember, I don't know if you saw the one where they brought them all back and everyone was like, oh my God. Like, the way they brought them back was like a time machine.
Right. I mean, this is going back to the 70s where in Superman 1, Lois Lane dies and he just goes around the earth and saves her. So, why were these Avenger fans who know that movie are like, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know how they're going to pull this one out.
Yeah. They were kind of like, can you believe it? I'm like, yeah, I can believe it. They're going to like do, they're going to be, and then, like, I don't know if you saw it, but I'm pretty sure. They're trying to figure out, first of all, that looked like a dream to me when half the world was just gone. Everyone was like depressed at the beginning of the movie. And I was like, that sounds amazing if half the world was just gone.
Right.
And then they're like, what are we going to do? And so I'm not even kidding. I don't know if you saw it. I think in one night, Iron Man? What's his real name?
Robert Downey Jr., you mean?
The character with Iron Man. What?
Tony Stark.
Tony Stark literally just takes a night and invents time travel in one night.
That was how they...
Yeah, he literally is like, you know what? Well, let me try and figure it out. He just invents it in one night. And then he's like, hey, I invented time travel. And they're like, oh, great. And then that's... And I'm like, so why weren't you trying to invent time travel? You could just figure this out.
Right.
But I remember being like, that is your big script that you came up with?
Right.
This is before the writer's strike.
Right. I know. Do they even need writers to write superhero movies? I don't know.
I really haven't seen one in a while. I think I'm going to see the new Spider-Man one because everyone's saying it's the greatest thing ever. But I guarantee you I'm going to be like, yeah, great.
The cartoon one, right?
Cartoon. It feels so weird to me that we're in a place where the greatest, people are saying the greatest movie made in the last 8 years is a cartoon.
I mean, yeah, I was looking forward to the Indiana Jones thing, but it's already getting some not great reviews. And they said
What? I'm going to see, but what were you going to say? They're saying what?
Yeah, they're saying that this is the type of movie, because no one really cares as much about this, that if it doesn't get great reviews, it's going to be a big bomb. And they're saying the reviews are not great. So
I think it won't matter. I think people will still see it.
I don't know. That's what they're predicting. Because
did you see the last one was utter shit?
Mm-hmm.
I'll still see it, but I think it there is kind of a connection between like what's going on with Trump, where people are just kind of like, when I watch those speeches and I'm like, how could anyone still be watching? It's like, oh yeah, every movie out is just like a sequel that's exactly like the last movie.
Right. And it's always with the nerds who run the industry. They get mad if they do casting choices and stuff. So sometimes they'll actually try to do a different one and they'll, you know, make it different. Right. And they'll go, no, this is not what it is. How dare you? I'm like, but you told me that you were kind of getting bored of the other thing. So we tried to make it different. And they're like, no, just go back to the other thing. So
right. Whenever they do anything different, everyone gets mad. Everyone's like, what is this? I remember it happened with the Halloween franchise. Like it was kind of early in.
Oh, the third one?
Yeah. John Carpenter made the second one that he kind of, you know, reluctantly did, because I think he was like, well, what is it? It's just something to make like a shittier continuation. Like the guy, what are we going to do? So, because he was like a good filmmaker. So I think in his mind, he was like, well, he really overestimated the audience. Like, we can't just keep making these. Like, who's going to see this again? And then he's like, we'll do like an anthology. And he did something different. And everyone was like, this is shit. And they were like, fine, we'll just do the exact same thing. And they're like, that again. So it's like, okay, so just you have no taste in art? Like, want the exact same?
I know. I mean, it's like, I don't even know, maybe because I'm not a kid anymore, but like, these movies are so interchangeable. And I'm like, oh, so when is Guardians of the Galaxy coming out? I was asking someone the third one. They're like, oh, it's been out for like a month. I'm like, it has? And I'm like, oh. Yeah. I mean, I thought like the first one, but then I started watching the second one. I'm like, this is the same thing. Like, why would I even keep doing this?
Yeah, I know. I love when they're like, this one's better. The second one is, the eighth one wasn't like Fast and the Furious. It's like, I don't even know what the fuck. I heard in one of the last ones, they drove into space. And I'm not even kidding. That's when you know they're out of idea. Like, I think for movies, jumping the shark is jumping into space. They always go to space when they're just out of ideas.
Yeah, I think the jump the shark one was, for me, I don't know which one it was, is where they drove from one building into the sky and landed in another building.
But see, that wasn't even that like huge of a spectacle in terms of, I mean, it was,
right?
I think that was, you know, what's so funny too, is like, they refused to kill anyone off in these Fast and Furious movies. They, Paul Walker's character, they still have not killed off.
Oh, they haven't.
Right. He's not in them anymore, but the character is still talked about in a lot. So it's like, the guy, he's dead. Just kill his character off.
Yeah, that's an interesting plot point right there.
They won't even kill off people who they can't have in the... I think in 3 years, they're going to have Paul Walker in the movies again.
Yeah, because of the holograms and the AI and all that crap. I know. And by the way, they should kill off some of the characters, because every actor in Hollywood is in those movies. The cast is like ridiculous.
Well, see, that's their solution to things now. They're like, okay, it's not making that much money. Okay, put in five more people.
Then
it's so funny. People who are even like respected, like Academy Award winning actors, they immediately just sell out. Like Brie Larson was like, sure, I'll be in Fast and Furious 10. Yeah.
Right. But honestly, though, would you say no?
No, but I mean, I'm not like a respected actor.
I don't mind that as much, because, you know, Brie Larson, I think she was one of the superheroes or something, wasn't she?
She was, I think she was Marvel, Captain Marvel.
Which I always thought was a dude, but I don't know. But no, because the movies that you make, the Oscar bait movies, you make dick on those movies, you know? You want the big paydays. So I don't think...
I get it. But maybe don't do Fast and Furious 10. Maybe get it on the fifth one.
Like, well, I think those movies are actually easy for them, because there's so many actors that they're only in the movie for like 10 minutes. So, and I don't think they even get like a big salary, but they get a cut of the gross or whatever it is.
And movies now are just not, it's not even art or a business. I guess that's true. They'll just be like, well, I'll make a good movie and then I'll just do this amusement park.
Right. And, you know, it keeps your profile up too. You know, I mean, it did that for Robert Downey Jr. But I mean, yeah, I don't, but they say this is the last Fast and Furious, but then they're like, but then we're going to have spinoffs. So I'm like, well, then it's not the last Fast and Furious.
Well, but no, but you know what they did? I guess they're saying it's the last one, but they're doing that bullshit thing they do where you'll go see a movie and they'll be like, yeah, this is the first part of the movie. You know?
Oh, yeah.
This is part one of the movie. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, you made a movie. I paid money. You didn't. I'm not even going to see the whole. I have to wait to see the rest of the movie.
I know. It's not like a TV show. Yeah.
What?
Like, continue next week. You got to wait like 2 years. I thought there was some Simpsons.
What are you talking about? This last Fast and Furious 10, they're breaking it into three parts.
Oh, yeah.
So it ends on, I didn't see it, but it ends on a cliffhanger.
So that's, oh my God. Oh, the new one.
Where it's like, oh, you think Vin Diesel might die. And it's like, I don't think Vin Diesel's going to be in the next two.
Yeah, unless they make Boiler Room 2, I think he's going to be stuck in these things for a while.
Right. I don't know what, like.
There was some recent Simpsons episode I saw where they were talking about how, like, they were saying, oh yeah, no one, movies don't have endings anymore. They just set it up for the fucking sequel, you know?
Yeah.
You're like, you don't even have to write an ending for a movie anymore.
Well, that's what they do. Or if it's an actual creative artistic movie, they do this thing now where they just stop the movie. They don't have a resolution. They're just kind of like, because I think that they're like, they think it's a creative artistic choice to be like, and then nothing. We don't tell you anything. I've had that so many times where it's like a good movie. And then I'm like, it starts slowing down or no one's talking. And I'm like, oh, this is the end of the movie. This is it. It'll be like, my girlfriend will be like, but they haven't resolved anything. I'm like, no, but do you see that they just stopped talking? They're just going to be like, we're not going to tell you anything. That's supposed to be like an artistic choice of that.
Yeah, like a slasher movie, and they kill him and they even cut off his head and he's like, he's dead, you know? And then they leave for a minute and they come back and the body's gone.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
They won't say he's alive, but he's gone, you know? And they're like, well, he could come back, even though we cut off his head, arms, and legs. Yeah.
Right. That's why I don't know why people even are entertained by, because there is no continuity anymore. Nothing. Right. It's just kind of like, well, that made money, so let's just figure out another way.
Yeah.
But yeah, no one. So that's how I feel. As a good tie in pop culture. Just if you look at pop culture and like the trends in pop culture of a society or the zeitgeist, it kind of tells you volumes about. I mean, at this point, what is the difference between entertainment and politics? It's kind of its own show, right? Yeah. It's almost like, I wonder what's going to happen next week. Oh my God. Like, when is the next season coming out? Like, when does it start? Like, I mean, I'm falling for it. Like, I, as much of a shit show and a nightmare. I mean, and we are at a point like this indictment stuff. I think a lot of people are kind of like, okay, well, this will finally like slow him down. But it does feel like a horror movie where it's like you cut his head off and you do everything and he just comes right back.
And MSNBC is loving this because their ratings are kicking everyone's ass. You know, the one thing Trump does is he's a gift that keeps on giving to MSNBC and the New York Times and all that. They're going to miss him when he's gone.
Well, and now I heard MSNBC is actually leading in the ratings.
Right. Yeah.
Which, like, is good because they at least will try and, you know, map out the problem.
Well, they'll show you actually things that are going on, not talk about, right, you know, Bud Light and fucking Target wokeism and bullshit.
Right.
Yeah.
And the other thing too, this is goes back to a long time, like with Hillary and Trump, where they were like, and if you hear it now, even with like Biden and Trump, people, these idiots are always like, well, they're both bad. Both parties are bad. And it's like, no. Like, one party, it's literally like sports where it's like one party is the worst in the league and horrible and can't play and just like, just the worst team in the league. And one team is like, the other team's like pretty good. Like, right, they're pretty good. They're not like the best. They're not first, but they're like, they're pretty good. It's not, they're both bad. I'm sick of the whole, they're both bad.
Right.
Thing.
But it's like the documents case is they asked him, they gave him three shots to bring it back. They gave him three chances. And it's like, I was having a conversation about someone with Fox and the Dominion thing. And they're like, yeah, they all lie, but they issue retractions, right, and they don't talk about it for 6 months, texting each other like, this is lying, we're gonna, and then not stop, just keep doubling down. People make mistakes, that's fine, but when you're caught making a mistake and they're giving you an opportunity to correct it.
Well, it's kind of like hearing the Weinstein thing and being like, oh, you know, all guys are scumbags. All guys are like that. It's like, no, they're not. They're not all like that.
Right.
It's kind of like, it's comparing him, Weinstein, with a guy who, like, you know,
I don't like
know,
Al Franken or something.
Grad your ass once when you were 19. You know, they're all bad. They're all liars. Yeah. Like, I hate that when they just, and then the other, I can't, you know, I was watching. We'll wrap this up soon, but like, you know, the news where they, I guess, I don't know why the news does this, but just the interviewing undecided voters and like the fact that we're still doing that. It's just like, I don't like this guy. All right. Are you deciding yet? Like, here are the choices. This guy raped you. And this guy wants to keep your health care. Which guy are you going to go for? Like, I don't know. I still have to see where I am closer to the election.
It's even the funny thing. There was some DeSantis signed this really harsh immigration bill in Florida, which is proving to be a disaster because now they can't get anyone to pick crops and stuff. And then stores are going empty. And there's this Republican guy who was like, trying to tell the farmers, he's like, don't worry, this law is not real. Tell everyone, all the immigrants, that they're not going to be arrested. But, you know, no one believes that because in the law it says you're going to be arrested and stuff or whatever. And he's like, you know, DeSantis passed this law and I know it's fucking me up because I think he had some farm interests and fucking you guys up. And, you know, but, you know, you got to say, even though he's fucking every other thing up, he's like, he's just the greatest governor. You just said,
but why is it because he hates trans people, talking about trans people or something?
No, this is about the farmer stuff. He passed an immigration law.
No, I know, but why do they still like it? Why?
I don't
why?
Know. But this guy, I don't think he was a politician, but he was a pro Republican farmer interest stuff, and he saw how he's like, he's decimating our business. And then he ends the conversation with, he is the greatest governor in the world.
But I guess it's like, what is his justification? Is it just because he's so great because he like says he hates gay people and trans people and he doesn't want them to teach?
I guess people that you know, people will always vote against their economic self-interest. But the funny thing is,
because of weird like sociological.
Right. Because as long as he's being mean to some disadvantaged group, I'm on board with that.
But that's why they embrace that, the Republic. That's kind of where they are now, and they've been for a while. It's like they know they can't win on policy and the issues because their interests are literally just for that, to help the richest in the country. So it's always, that's why it's always religion, and you know, they hate religion, you know, and they want to kill your babies.
But in this case, this guy was a kind of a guy who had money. And the people around him they need these farmer workers. They need them. And to just say that he's the greatest governor ever, after you just said he's decimating our business, how can he be the greatest? Why don't you just pull the last governor who didn't do this?
So that's, you know, that's where we are. But I'm sure he loves Fast and the Furious 11. Yeah. But you know what I mean? It's just there's no...
I mean, if you had there was two candidates.
There's no free thinking anymore.
Right. If one of them raped your mom and the other one didn't, and you said the guy who raped your mom was the best candidate. Like, well, no, I would go with the non-rape guy.
They'd be like, they're both bad. They're both bad.
Yeah, because the other one has emails that they're hiding, right?
The guy raped you. I know, but they're both bad. They're all bad. Nothing better. What's the better option? The guy who's not going to rape you? All right. I think it's Stockholm syndrome. I think it's like, yeah. I don't know what it, I don't know what it, I guess I've given up on. It is horrifying. Like the older I get, I feel like Idiocracy, in the way that I don't think I'm that smart, but I look at things, I watch things and I'm like, wow, I feel like I'm like a lot smarter than a lot of the people, which is terrifying to me.
Yeah, you hang around enough dumb people, you feel real smart. So,
which is kind of scary. But all right, well, we got to wrap this up. It's been about an hour.
Have fun in Dallas.
Thank you. And thanks for listening, everybody. And we appreciate if you support the show. Go to our Patreon, LE2B. And yeah, and we'll see you next time.
All right. Later.